This talk is about a new approach to verifying computations that have been outsourced to remote, untrusted machines. I'll use an example to describe what I mean by verifying a remote computation. Suppose my desktop computer wants to offload some image manipulation operation to a remote server in the cloud, but it doesn't want to trust, that is, assume that the remote server is working correctly. So the ideal in this scenario would be for the server to return some auxiliary information along with the output of the computation. Then later, the client would use this auxiliary information to check if the output is correct. Ideally, this check is substantially faster than rerunning the computation at the client. It turns out that this problem can be solved, at least in theory. More specifically, the solution is to apply the theory of probabilistically checkable proofs or interactive proofs. At a very high level, this theory says that the server can create a proof to prove that it executed the client's computation correctly. Then later, the client can read the proof to check if the proof is valid. One of the most surprising aspects of this theory is that the client doesn't have to read the entire proof to check. It only needs to inspect the proof at very few locations. This theory also has other interesting properties. First, the theory is general purpose, which means that the client can outsource any computation. Second, the theory is unconditional, which means that the client doesn't have to make any strong trust assumptions about the server. But there's a problem. This theory is very, very expensive. For instance, to verify a matrix multiplication with 500 by 500 matrices, it would take more than 500 trillion CPU years. So on the one hand, these theoretical tools are very, very expensive, but on the other hand, they provide very strong security properties. So there's a lot of recent renewed interest in reducing the cost of these schemes with built systems. In fact, most of these recent works reduce the cost dramatically. For instance, in our prior work, Pepper, we refined this theory to reduce cost by over 20 orders of magnitude. But there is another problem. These recent works do not fully realize the full promise of proof-based verified computation. They all have a number of notable limitations. First, they impose very high resource costs. In some cases, the client has to outsource very large computations in order to gain from outsourcing. At that point, the total time taken by the server would be many CPU years. Second, their model of computation is arithmetic circuits. And here's an example of an arithmetic circuit that computes dot products. This model of computation is efficient only for a restricted class of computations. More specifically, it's efficient for computations that do not involve conditional control flow or comparisons. To address these limitations, we have refined this theory and built a system called Ginger. Before I describe the design details of Ginger, I would like to provide a quick overview of our results. First, with Ginger's theoretical refinements, the client's costs reduced by several orders of magnitude. Second, Ginger includes a massively parallel implementation of the server that dramatically reduces latency. Third, Ginger supports a general purpose programming model with concise representations for conditionals, control flow, comparisons, and it even includes efficient representation for floating point numbers. Moreover, we have a compiler that can automatically translate computations written in a high-level language to client and server executables. The main takeaway from this talk is that Ginger and its predecessor Pepper have reduced cost by 23 orders of magnitude using a combination of theoretical refinements and systems techniques. And we are now within a striking distance of true practicality, and these results suggest that proof-based verified computation could be practical for real in the near future. The rest of this talk is in two parts. First, I'm going to describe the design details of Ginger, starting with a high-level overview of the theory on which Ginger builds. Then I'll present some experimental results. At a very high level, the verification in Ginger and its predecessors proceed in two stages. In the first stage, the client specifies its computation in the form of a circuit along with the input of the computation. The server executes the computation and returns an output back to the client. At this point, the server creates a proof to prove that it executed the client's computation correctly. It does that by first recording the values on the wires of the circuit and then redundantly encoding these values. I'll not be able to describe the full details of this process, but at a very high level, each entry in the proof is dependent on the complete execution state of the computation. Once the server creates this proof, in the second phase, the client selects a set of locations at which it wants to inspect the proof, and then it sends these locations to the server. After that, the server responds with a set of values. Once the client receives a set of values from the server, it runs a set of tests on the values returned from the server. If the tests pass, the client accepts, otherwise it rejects. At a very high level, these tests are checking some properties of the proof held by the server. There are two important things that I want to point out here. First, client uses a set of randomized algorithms to check the validity of the proof. So there is some error probability associated with the verification process. What this means is that if the server presents an incorrect proof, there is some chance that the client may not detect that. Second, the total cost of the system depends on the size of the representation used for the computation. In this case, on the number of gates in the circuit representation of the computation. Ginger refines this theory with three modifications. And today I'm going to describe the first two refinements, and the details of the third refinement are in the paper. If you look at the set of tests that the client does, there's a test called the linearity test. One of the bad things about this test is that it provides very weak guarantees. More specifically, it provides a very loose indication that the server's proof has a correct structure. As a result, the entire verification process inherits this weak guarantee. We revisited this set of tests that the client does to find a better bound for the error probability, and we found something interesting. We found that the consistency test, which is another test that the client does, implies the linearity test. What this means is that if the server created a proof that passes the consistency test, then it would also pass the linearity test. In fact, we proved something better. We showed that the consistency test provides guarantees that are significantly stronger than the guarantees of the linearity test. As a result, there are two modifications that we can do to the protocol. First, we can eliminate the linearity test because they're implied by the consistency test. Second, we don't have to repeat the entire protocol many times to improve the guarantees of the protocol. The end-to-end benefit of this modification is that the client saves CPU cycles. Our second refinement is to change the model of computation. Most of the recent works use arithmetic circuits as a model of computation, and this model of computation is efficient only for a restricted class of computations. If you look at the theory can be made to work with systems of equations as a computation model instead of circuits. And this change has several benefits. First, the new model of computation can represent many of the general purpose programming constructs like conditionals, control flow statements, much more concisely than circuits. Second, since the cost of the system depends on the size of the representation, the end-to-end cost reduced by many orders of magnitude. In this new model of computation, executing the computation is equivalent to finding solution to a system of equations. Here's a simple example. Example function that just increments the argument provided. On the right side, I've shown a system of equation that is equivalent to the computation. There's an interesting property that we exploit in this. If once the inputs are fixed, the system of equations has a solution if and only if the output is correct. I'll use a very simple example. Suppose the input to this computation is 6. Let's consider two cases. In the first case, let the output be 7, and in the second case, let the output be 8. You can see that the first system of equations has a solution, namely x equals 6 and y equals 7, but the second does not, because the system of equations is inconsistent, which resulted because the output is incorrect. We built system of equations for many of the general purpose programming constructs, and here is an example for the not equals operation. you can see that this equation has a solution if and only if x is not equal to y. Because if x equals y, there is no value for the auxiliary variable m that can satisfy the equation. Here is another example that involves conditional control flow. In this case, we use the auxiliary variable to encode the branch taken by the computation. If m equals 1, the statements inside the if block are executed. If m equals 0, the statements inside the else block are executed. Moreover, one of the good things about the system of equations is that they can be composed. So given a high-level program, there's a mechanical procedure to automatically translate computations from the high-level language to system of equations. In fact, we built a compiler that automatically translates computations written in a high-level language into system of equations. Once we translate the computations into this system of equations, the server creates the proof by redundantly encoding the values in the solution to the system of equations instead of values on the wires of the circuit. So in summary, Ginger includes three refinements. First, to eliminate some of the tests that the client does, and it saves some CPU cycles at the client. Second, we change the model of computation to efficiently represent some of the programming constructs. Third, we incorporate floating point numbers into this new model of computation. We implemented these refinements in a system and collected data by running the system with various hardware configurations. Today, I'm going to use that data to answer three evaluation questions. First, we'll look at the effect of our theoretical refinements on the length of the computation at which the client gains from outsourcing. Before I present the results, I want to provide a little information about the break-even points. In Ginger and its predecessor Pepper, the client cannot gain from outsourcing a single instance of a computation. It's illustrated in this picture where there is some setup cost associated with the verification, and the verification costs grow at a rate significantly smaller compared to the cost of executing the computation. So there is minimum number of instances beyond which it's always beneficial for the client to outsource its computation to the remote server. So an interesting question to look at is the effect of our theoretical refinements on the break-even points and the client verification time at the break-even point. We use matrix multiplication as the benchmark problem, and we consider two cases. In the first case, the client uses a CPU for doing its cryptographic operations, and in the second case, the client uses a special purpose hardware like a GPU for doing its cryptographic operations. As you can see from this table, the break-even number of instances and the client verification time reduces by a factor of 3 to several orders of magnitude depending on the hardware available to the client. Second, we look at the effect of parallelizing the server. To answer this question, we implemented many benchmark problems like polynomial evaluation, root finding via bisection, and Hamming distance. And we measured the server's latency when the server has access to varying hardware resources. And this graph shows the speedup achieved by the server when it has access to varying hardware resources for different benchmark problems. As you can see from this picture, we can achieve near linear reduction in latency and hence close to ideal speedups in most cases. Third, we're going to look at the effect of using the new model of computation on the end-to-end cost. So to answer this question, we consider two benchmark problems that involve conditional control flow or comparisons. We'll compare the size of Ginger's representation to the size of an equivalent Boolean circuit. As you can see from this table, Ginger's representation is many orders of magnitude smaller compared to the size of an equivalent Boolean circuit. The end-to-end effect of this refinement is that Ginger will be many orders of magnitude faster compared to a system that uses either Boolean circuits or arithmetic circuits as the model of computation. Despite these improvements, Ginger has several limitations. First, in Ginger, the client needs to outsource many instances of a computation to gain from outsourcing. Second, the server's costs are still too high. In the worst case, the service running time will be quadratic in the original runtime of the computation. But in some cases, it's possible to tailor the server's encoding to make it linear or near linear in the original running time of the computation. But the limitation is that our current compiler doesn't automatically do this. Finally, for computations that can have loops, the number of iterations of the loop should be known at compile time. Before I conclude this talk, I want to briefly describe some prior work on verifying computations. First, there are a lot of works that either make strong trust assumptions about the server, for example, the existence of tamper-resistant trusted hardware, or they give up being general purpose, which means that they are tailored for specific computations like polynomial evaluation or matrix multiplication. Second, then there are a lot of schemes that provide unconditional verification of general purpose computations, but they are based on fully homomorphic encryption, which is not yet practical on today's computers. So all these schemes are not yet practical on today's computers. Third, proof-based verified computation is standard in the theory community, and asymptotics continue to improve. In fact, there are a lot of recent works that improve the asymptotics. For example, the work of Bensassen et al. And Gennaro et al. Finally, there are two build systems for proof-based verified computation. The first is by Kormod, Mitzenmacher, and Taylor, and their scheme has several advantages and disadvantages compared to Ginger. First, in their scheme, the client can gain from outsourcing even a single computation, which is a big advantage over Ginger and Pepper. But their system is based on theory that has several limitations on the type of computations that can be outsourced. The second system is our own prior work Pepper, and Ginger removes some of the limitations of Pepper to make it closer to practical. In summary, Ginger's theoretical refinements reduce the client's cost by several orders of magnitude compared to prior work. Ginger includes a massively parallel implementation of the server that dramatically reduces latency. Third, Ginger supports a general purpose programming model with efficient representations for conditional control flow comparisons and logical expressions. It even includes an efficient representation for floating point numbers. The main takeaway from this talk is that the techniques in Ginger and Pepper have reduced cost by over 23 orders of magnitude, and we are now within a striking distance of true practicality. And these results suggest that proof-based verified computation could be practical for real in the near future. And I can take questions.
So for questions, please use the mic and you can state your name and affiliation.
This is YX Chen from Chen Micro. And I'm wondering, this probability-based approach can handle the scenario of an adversary exist. I mean that if a server, even if the server is oblivious to the computation, but it's required a certain level of trustworthy of the server, or if the server designed intentionally to forge the answer, including the proof, forge the proof and also the answer, will this approach be vulnerable under this time, kind of maybe denial of service attack or not?
So the question is, does this approach work for denial of service attacks?
You mean that you don't have to from a proof verifiable approach, you don't need to know how the server works. But how about the server is there some chance that the server makes something that you believe is correct, but actually it is not intentionally?
So this word, in our case, the server could be malicious for different reasons. Even if it's not completely malicious, our system will detect that case. And the guarantees are only about the correctness. We do not guarantee anything about the liveness. For example, if there is a denial of service attack on the server, then there is no guarantee that the client will get an answer. But if the client gets an answer, we can check the answer.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the nice talk, Dan Bonet, Stanford. I'm curious about the fact that the way that you described the protocol is that you described it as an interactive protocol with multiple rounds. Is there something inherent in Ginger that prevents using, say, you know, Mikali's CS proofs to reduce it into a one-round protocol?
I think it's possible to make it non-interactive, but in our current system, we use a cryptographic commitment protocol to commit to the proof held by the server and then interactively ask the server to reveal the values. But I'm not sure if there is a straightforward way to convert it into a non-interactive version.
I see. Okay, thanks.
All right, unless there's any more questions, let's thank the speaker again.